It's Whiplash 95.5 KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Happy to say that on the show with us tonight, we've got legendary drummer Gene Hoagland with us. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you very much. I got to tell you, it's a real honor to be on your show. It's a real honor to be on KLOS. I grew up listening to KLOS, being a Southern California resident. So that's pretty sharp, I got to tell you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've released two instructional DVDs that that feature commentary and show how to play some of your drum parts. What's the most rewarding thing about sharing your expertise?
All the money that it makes me. No, I'm joking. You know, it's like one thing I try to do with these DVDs is I know that they are, you know, quasi instructional, but I do try to make them for everybody. You know, I try not to load it up with so much like drum speak that it's just, you know, exclusive to drummers only, you know, just inclusive to drummers only. I try to include everybody in it. So I try to make it entertaining, and I try to make it as well-rounded as I can, so that whether you're, you know, if you're a drummer, great, there's going to be a lot of stuff for you. If, say, you're a musician but not a drummer, there's a lot of cool stuff in that for you as well. And if you're not even a musician but you want to be entertained for, you know, a couple of hours, then that's really the audience I try to target, is everybody. And so, like, I do have so many people that order it, and they write back saying, I'm not even a musician, but I really enjoyed this. And it's like, perfect, bingo, that's what I like to hear.
Gene Hoagland with us on the show. It's Whiplash on KLOS. It's Whiplash 95.5 KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Gene Hoagland is our guest on the show tonight. And you auctioned off a drum kit you've used with Opeth, Unearth, and Strapping Young Lad, with part of the proceeds going to charity in memory of Chuck Schuldiner and Michelle Meldrum. Why were Michelle and Chuck important to who you are, both as a musician and a person?
Well, I guess, first of all, like, starting with Michelle, she was my very first guitarist, and we were teenagers in a band together. I was like 17 and she was 16, and that helped get me my start, you know, my first band, rehearsing all the time. At that moment, we hadn't played any gigs, but Michelle was very integral in the rest of my career, in the fact of when we had our little band War God together, my future band Dark Angel was searching for a drummer, and they had approached me like, hey, do you want to come and jam with us? And I was like, well, I got my band here that I want to do stuff with. And Michelle was very important when she, you know, she kind of kicked me out of the nest. She was like, hey, Dark Angel is going places. We haven't done anything yet. We've recorded a tiny little demo. These guys, you know, they have an album in the can. They're playing lots of shows, and go out and do it. Don't regret saying no to this when you can get out there and do something with these guys. Who knows where it will lead? And sure enough, it ended up leading to a fantastic career. And later on, after Dark Angel, ironically, the Chuck, being the metal legend that he is, and the person whom I next worked with outside of Dark Angel, I spent 8 years with Dark Angel, and then pretty much immediately after Dark Angel, I connected with Chuck, and we made Death's Individual Thought Patterns album and also Death's Symbolic record together. And working with Chuck helped guide me in my path of drums, because with Dark Angel, I was writing everything. You know, it kind of evolved into my project over the course of time. And I was writing all the music and all the lyrics and doing all the biz and doing all the, you know, all the interviews and all the press and everything for it. And with Death, the only thing I had to do was concentrate on drumming. So I let my yah-yahs out, you know, with Death. I got to really explore a lot of parameters of drums that I wasn't even concerned with Dark Angel. But since I had the free time and the, you know, hey, Gene, the only thing you have to concentrate on is playing some cool drums, then that's where I was able to take my playing and my career from there. And both losing both friends is a great loss. You know, like we just on May 21st was the 9th anniversary of Michelle's passing, and Chuck also had a birthday. So, you know, it's this auction is, you know, it's important. It's also, it was a way to alleviate myself of some gear, as well as, you know, try to do a good thing for a good cause in the name of two very talented musicians and wonderful people.
Gene Hoagland is with us on the show tonight. It's Full Metal Jackie. The Atomic Clock, The Clock Strikes 2, the DVD is out now, and I've got a signed copy to give away. So call us, 800-955-KLOS. Caller 20 wins a DVD furnished by Hoagland Industries. Good luck. Coming up, Slayer and Metallica tickets, music from Iron Maiden, Manowar, and more with the legendary Gene Hoagland. It's Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Gene Hoagland is our guest on the show tonight. Most people immediately think of you as a drummer, but you were also a lyricist when you started your career with Dark Angel. What's similar about writing lyrics and coming up with drum parts for different sections of a song?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I tell you that, like, along with writing lyrics, when a lot of lyricists, like, say, a drummer who's a lyricist that comes to mind, of course, is Neil Peart from Rush. And I'm not sure how he does it. I'm not sure how he, like, if he just, say, writes a poem and then hands it over to Getty and Getty figures out where to put the lyrics in. But with Dark Angel, for instance, I would write the vocal patterns as well. I would write the lyrics. I mean, I would write the cadences that the lyrics would be going in. That was all me. And Ron, my singer, Ron Reinhardt, he would augment things that were most comfortable for him. But for the most part, I would give an entire piece over to Ron, you know, lyrics, melody lines, vocal cadences, all completed. And I mean, I remember writing in the early days, there wasn't a lot of melody involved. You would try to write cool cadences, and what a cadence is just the delivery of the lyrics. And it wasn't like we were singing, nothing like that. So it was just like, okay, try to bark out these vocals with a cool little drum type percussive cadence to the vocals. So it was rather similar, trying to write a drum part that's cool, trying to write a vocal part that is cool, usually involved some sort of, it tended to lean towards the vein of percussiveness rather than melody. So there you go. That was a good question.
Gene Hoagland with us on Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. Whiplash, 95.5 KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Gene Hoagland is with us tonight. Much of your career has been heavy, extreme, and fast metal bands, but you've described yourself growing up as a nerdy Rush fan. What did you learn from listening to Rush that you were able to apply to your own music?
Well, I guess one thing for me, and I realize, you know, as I've grown up, I've met other musicians that, you know, maybe they're not the biggest Rush fan because they were into the things that Rush were influenced by. And so, but for me, Rush, there were just no rules. You know, I got into Rush before there was a whole lot of radio play on them, and I realized that their Moving Pictures records seemed to really, really catapult them into a lot of radio play. And, you know, they had a little bit of radio with The Spirit of Radio from Permanent Waves, the album that preceded that. But I was into, you know, the 2112s and the Farewell to Kings and Hemispheres and all that, you know, a lot of those songs weren't designed for the radio, therefore there was no radio play on it. And when you design something that's not going to be played on the radio, I think that gives you a real carte blanche to just let your freak flag fly, let there be no rules. Neil Peart came up with so many great drum parts that were so memorable, yet they were understandable from a drum standpoint. You know, like you'd have guys like Terry Bozzio playing with UK, or Frank Zappa, where a lot of his drum parts were amazing too, and they were so amazing that it would just, you know, get you kind of depressed. You know, it's like, oh, I could never figure that out. But Neil Peart was a guy that it's like, hey, this is pushing the realms. This isn't just, you know, plain old rock drumming, but it's understandable. I could grasp every single thing that Neil Peart was doing. And I loved their, you know, when I was, you know, remember, I'm like 8, 9, 10, 11 when I'm super getting into Rush, and their lyrics really appeal to me. You know, it's like, wow, this is, they aren't just singing about, like, you know, partying or you know, getting chicks on the weekend. There's something of merit to, you know, there's some heady stuff happening with their lyrics. So I guess that was just my big influence, was just their whole approach. And then shortly after being a Rush fan, that's when I started getting really into all the super duper heavy metal and stuff like that. So it was just a natural progression for me, for myself.
Gene Hoagland is with us tonight. It's Full Metal Jackie. Coming up, we've got your shot at Slayer tickets. We'll have Gene pick a tune, plus a salute to a heavy metal legend. It's Whiplash on KLOS. It's Full Metal Jackie. Legendary drummer Gene Hoagland is with us tonight. Gene, Testament goes back on tour this summer in South America. We've got some dates in Central America and Europe. What do you enjoy most about traveling and playing in different countries?
Getting, like, say, for instance, getting to play South America. Like, we just finished our big, long U.S. run. It was like a 6-7 week run. That was amazing because you get to play all these places in the States that you've played a bunch of times, and the crowds are always awesome, you know. And then you take it to, like, say, a South America, where things just get upped a notch in terms of the intensity of the crowd. You know, in the States, we travel on a bus. In South and Central America, we fly to every show. So there's always a whole bunch of fans hanging out at the airport. You know, they figure out the flight that you're on, and they'll be there with the banners, and sometimes it gets a little crazy. And, like, you play a place, for instance, like Santiago, Chile, for instance. I swear, not to take anything away from anybody else on the planet, but I swear, Santiago, Chile is about the most metal place in the world. Like, every band that ever plays Santiago is always really stoked to play it and really happy afterwards, and the crowds are great. And that's the way it is for bands like Testament, bands like Death or Death to All, or whichever, any of my bands, Dark Angel, that have been down there. It's just, there's so much love and intensity coming from the audience that it's really hard to ignore. And that's the great thing about playing places like South and Central America. The unfortunate bit about it is you do have to fly to every show. So it's not like you get to get on your comfortable bus at the end of the night and just sleep till sound check the next day. You get back to your hotel at 1, 2 a.m. You've got a 5 a.m. lobby call to make it down to the airport by 6:30 or 7 to make the, you know, the 9 a.m. flight to just, you know, it's like a groundhog day of brutality every day in terms of, like, the physical toll it takes on you. Australia is the same way. All us guys in bands have to kind of giggle when people just go, wow, you get to fly to every show. That must be so, you know, glamorous. It's like, oh my God, there's no glamour in this, but we love playing live. So you do what you have to do in order to get your tour done. So, but we're in a very fortunate position to be able to do it. And we all recognize that totally.
It's Full Metal Jackie, Gene Hoagland with us. He'll be picking a tune here in just a bit. Right now, Marilyn Manson. an older tune. This is Lunchbox on Whiplash. Evil Has No Boundaries from Slayer. That was Gene Hoagland's pick, our guest on the show tonight. Slayer, of course, playing at the Forum on August 5th, along with Lamb of God and Behemoth. Those tickets are on sale. Give us a call, though, right now, 800-955-KLOS. Caller 20 gets a pair of tickets furnished by Live Nation, 800-955-KLOS. And again, we've got Gene Hoagland with us tonight. Gene, Brendan Small's new Galacticon album seems to be a continuation of Death Clock. What's unique about the working combination of you, Brendan, and bassist Brian Beller?
Well, I'm not sure what a continuation of Death Clock it might necessarily be. I will tell you one thing about Galacticon, like it's called Galacticon 2, Become the Storm. And it's actually just an extension of Brendan, you know, really. It's so much more than an extension of Death Clock. It's kind of like an amalgamation of, there's definitely some Death Clock influences, I would say. There's definitely some Galacticon influences, as well as, I don't know if you would remember that Doomstar Requiem rock clock opera that we put out a couple of years back. There's even some elements of that in it. So it's pretty much, I can see this as Brendan Small moving forward, moving past Death Clock with a lot of the same elements. Like, if you enjoy Death Clock, you're really going to enjoy this record. If you enjoy the first Galacticon album or the Doomstar Requiem clock opera, you're really going to enjoy this record too. It's just got something for everybody on it.
Awesome. Well, definitely looking forward to that. And Gene, really appreciate you taking the time. So happy I had a chance to, you know, that you had a chance to be on the show. I've been trying to work it out for a while, so I appreciate you being here.
It's about time. Thank you very much, Jack. We've been talking about this for like 6 years or
I know.
Something like that. So
I don't know how that...
I really appreciate it. And thank you very much. And I guess it, just to wrap up real quick, if anybody's interested in getting my latest DVD, it's called The Atomic Clock, The Clock Strikes 2. It's available at 1HoaglandIndustries.com. It's also available on Amazon and also at any gig that we ever play. I've always got some for sale there too. So you can get it digitally on both, you know, from Hoagland Industries or Amazon. So if people are interested, you know, definitely check it out. It's worth watching. It's more than just some boring old instructional DVD.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Gene.
Thank you, Jackie. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for hanging for another edition of Whiplash. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at FullMetalJackie. And of course, check out the Whiplash page at 955KLOS.com. I'll be back next Sunday, 9 to 11. Frazier Smith is up next. I'm going to leave you off with Dio era Black Sabbath, as tomorrow would have been Ronnie James Dio's 75th birthday. It's Whiplash. See ya.